thank a veteran. We gather here today because somebody gave. Somebody gave. You know the old saying, all gave some gave all. I've got a couple of nephews that are in the military. One of them, the Marine, is over in the Middle East somewhere. I'm not allowed to tell us where. It's always a concern. Somebody called him a soldier. He made that correction real quick. He's a Marine. His brother's the soldier. Thank God for our veterans. So don't forget to thank them this week. Have you ever stopped someone on the street that you saw was a veteran and thanked them? This morning I want us to look at veterans of the faith. You know, there's some veterans of the faith. God is calling for soldiers. He's recruiting soldiers. Some of them are getting their exercise now with a chance. We are in a spiritual warfare. It's a big warfare. Sometimes I'd like to get into the minds of people that have lived, you know, 2-3 times as long as I have, if 3 times as possible, and find out what they think of the present circumstances. I mean, really, what goes on in their mind about the present circumstances. It seems like sin has always been rampant, and we think that it's more rampant now than ever. That the spiritual warfare is really ramping up. The scripture tells us very clearly that this warfare that we are fighting is not a physical warfare. It's against man against man, but it's a spiritual warfare. And in this particular spiritual warfare, we are confronting sin, or we are called to confront sin and called to bring light to darkness. Light is not the absence of darkness. Or darkness is not the absence of... Yeah, that's the way it is. Darkness is the absence of light. Let me get this straight. Darkness is the absence of light, not the other way around. We are called to bring light to darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. In this conflict, we are to be faithful in prayer. We are to be faithful in doing. We are to be faithful in action. In this warfare, we should be motivated to do more than just talk about it. We should agree with, not only agree with the reality of the need for action, but be the person of action. You know, we can agree with the context that Christ gave us. Go ye into all the world. Go and make disciples. We can agree with that. We can say amen. We can raise our hand and say, yes, Lord, yes. Send forth laborers. But we should be more than just in agreement with it. We should be the person in action. For any kind of military warfare, you have to enlist. Spiritually enlist in this spiritual warfare. You say, well, how do I enlist in this warfare? I can enlist in this warfare, in this spiritual warfare, by confessing and repenting of my sins, receiving God's sacrifice for those sins, and then embark on a journey, on a life that is motivated by God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Is my life motivated by God's love, mercy, and grace? I have to stop and ask myself that sometimes. Is my life motivated by God's love, mercy, and grace? I think if we answer that with the affirmative, that we are going to have to really take consideration into what motivates us or how our motivations drive us. Because this spiritual warfare is not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Wednesday night thing. It's not just even during revival, but it's an actual life-changing encounter journey. A change that takes place at the point of our sins being forgiven, of us coming to Christ and accepting His sacrifice for our sins specifically. And then that change that takes place to lead us in places and in ways that we never dreamed possible. Doing things that we never, ever thought we were capable of doing. Being that person that we never thought possible. This morning I want us to look at our veterans of the faith. You know, the veterans of the faith are the ones that have walked the spiritual walkway. They've fought in the battle. They've won many a victory. Maybe they've lost one or two. Doesn't take away from the validity of them being veterans of the faith. Songwriter said, faithful to the faith. Another songwriter said this, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That word faithful stands out to me this morning as I think about veterans of the faith. The dictionary, the definition that I find in the dictionary for faithful would be worthy of trust and reliable, loyal, steadfast, resolute. I would like to add a little bit of a spiritual tint to it. Not just the definition from Webster, but also a spiritual side to what it means to be faithful. And that would be that a person is sold out, died out, surrendered, walks the talk. Have you ever met somebody that knew how to talk the talk, but their walk didn't match the talk? Faithful would be those that walk the talk. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us an insight. Uses a term here or a phrase that I want us to look at as well and focus in on this morning. Veterans of the faith would be in Hebrews 12:1, the cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Richard Taylor said that witnesses is not mere observers in the stands, curious to see how we will do, but testifiers that they have made it so we can too. The cloud of witnesses. The witnesses, not mere observers in the stands, curious, see how we will do, but testifiers that they have made it so that we can as well. Do you think about the witnesses that are surrounding your life? just a little bit, I'm going to give you opportunity to share some of those thoughts. Now, we're not talking about this cloud of witnesses being just simply those that have gone, those that are away, those that have already went off to their eternal reward, but there's still many witnesses that surround us today. There's many people that we could call witnesses in our lives. These witnesses shape our lives. You know, whether we think about it or not, whether we realize it or not, every one of you have some part, whether it be smaller or larger, every one of you have some part in shaping my life. In some way, shaping lives. My parents played a big role in shaping my life for 17 and a half years. I lived and breathed according to their shaping for 17 and a half years. I did what they wanted me to do. I went where they wanted me to go. Didn't always say what they wanted me to say, but they shaped me. They made decisions to shape me, deliberate decisions to shape me. It was a strong force at shaping me. Sometimes their decisions to shape me hurt. Sometimes it was very severe, but they shaped me. I think as I left home, the people that shaped my life, there was Terry Walker, little short Terry Walker, just a little guy in stature, but he poured himself into kids' lives, and I was one of them. Logan Westrick. Some of you know Logan Westrick. Maybe you knew Terry Walker as well, or know Terry Walker as well. But then there's Logan Westrick, shaped my life. I wonder where I would be today if it had not been for these witnesses that God placed in my life, bumping up against me somewhere in my life to shape something that was needing to be shaped at that point. Eugene Gray was another one. So patient, so understanding, and yet so persistent. And kind in his persistence. I think about the Leeches. You know, Mom and Dad Leech are a big part of my life. In Dad Leech's quiet way, he shaped me. No, it wasn't the same way that my mom and dad did. They never took the belt or the razor strap or the paddle or anything like that and whipped me. I think maybe they'd like to have at times. But there was shaping that was going on from Dad Leech's quiet demeanor. And yet in the midst of that quiet demeanor was a persistence and a thumb that was ever so prevalent into my back and Mom's prayers. My grandparents' prayers, my mom and dad's prayers. I can think about Jim Burris, Cheryl Burris, shaping. Just wonderful memories as I think back and look back on the shaping that took place, or the witness of these who have fought in the battle, who were fighting in the battle, and some of them still are fighting in the battle, and how their veteran status was being used to come back and shape me and structure me. I could even say that there's a cloud of witnesses among my peers. Some of them that have recently, in the last few years, been right here. Brian Ubel, Frank Heidler, Tim Wyford. Where would I be without people like Tim Wyford, who God used in a very, very dark time for me God used him to speak. So innocent, so unknowing, but God spoke to him and said, you need to call him right now. And so Tim called me. Unreal. Unreal how God works. And then the very Sunday morning following that, that incident, this particular time when Tim called me, unawares of the special need at that point, Penny Ford called the house. Told my wife, said, I just wanted you to know and tell your husband that he's been prayed for today. My wife said, wait, let me ring him in his study, and you can tell him in person because he needs to hear it himself. So she buzzed my office or my study over in the church, and I picked up the phone, and it was Penny Ford telling me that she had prayed for me that Sunday morning. No. Shaping of lives. God using people and the veterans to shape us. John and Tracy Petty, again, in their quiet way, in their unassuming manners, ways of doing things, they have shaped. There's one that I haven't mentioned, and I had the privilege of spending the night with them this week while I was in North Carolina. It was Ralph and Ann Day. Some of you know Ralph and Ann Day. They've been here to church before. They were good friends with Grandma Gibson and Sister Gordon. When they come up, I guess they spent the time over there at Gordon's house. Ralph and Ann Day were dear friends of mine. As a matter of fact, Ralph Day took me into his house, into his home pretty much, their home, when I left home and went to college. And I was just a kid, 17 and a half young years, going on 15. Just not ready to be away from the authority of the home. And Brother and Sister Day must have picked up on that, although Ralph Day was my boss at that time, but he picked up on it, took me in. Ralph Day was not a missionary. He never went to the foreign field as a missionary. He was not a pastor. He didn't preach. He didn't sing. But he was a laborer. He was a builder. He was a mechanic. And in that capacity, he had a heart for people. Within the heart for people, he loved them and he supported them. He prayed for them and he even discipled them. Brother Day reminded me at breakfast Wednesday morning. He said, you remember the time that I put my arm around your shoulder and told you you needed to walk away from that girl? I said, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I do. I said, I'll never forget that. You know, how many people accept that kind of thing? Somebody walk up and say, you just need to get your eye off that girl and forget about her. She's nothing but bad news. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever done that? It's usually bad news for the bearer of the tidings rather than the recipient. But you see, he had poured himself into me so much at that point of my life that I had to accept what he was saying was at least something valid enough for me to consider. Although I knew that it was more than just valid enough to consider, it was valid, plain and simple. Took me on vacation with him. Poured his life into me. Ann Day was just a whole life teacher. She taught school, she taught in church, she just taught. She was a teacher. So supportive. Some of you know the Tuckers up in Michigan. Charity Tucker was the young lady that was struck by lightning a number of years ago. Her daddy was probably, perhaps, the first one that Brother and Sister Day put through Bible college. Just giving, giving, giving. I sat with Brother and Sister Day. They're in their twilight years, as it were. I listened to them talk. I listened to them share. Brother Day sat there with tears streaming down his face, and he said, I just don't know if I'm doing enough. I said, well, Brother Day, you've given of yourself. You have many people that you have supported and have maintained being in the ministry and sharing their lives. I said, every one of those people that you have helped, they are helping put stars in your crown. And as we continued to talk, he told me about the various times in recent years where he went beyond the call of duty and was helping those that were around him, those that couldn't go to church. He would go and read and pray with them. Those that were sick in the hospital or in the nursing home, he would go and share with them and spend time with them, giving of himself over and over again to read the Bible, to pray with them, to share Christ with them, the love of Christ just on a one-on-one basis. Nothing major, no need for homiletics, no need for apologetics. Just simply sharing the gospel with this one in need. And again, tears came to his eyes as he began to tell me the stories in recent weeks of people that had died that he had personally been able to win to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a veteran of the faith, a hero, showing God's love, leading them to Jesus. Not only the elderly, but as I mentioned, the young, helping the young and being faithful to the young and supporting the young. So many people he has given to help them go on missions trips and to support missionaries. You have veterans of the faith that have shaped your lives. Would you like to pay tribute to them this morning? Would you like to give roses, flowers, words to the tribute to the ones that have shaped your lives? You can have that opportunity.
Soldiers do not confront the enemy successfully without support. They need training, supplies, and sometimes reinforcements. However, as they gain actual experience, soldiers become much more skilled in warfare. As World War I dragged on, the seasoned soldiers fared much better than the new recruits. Often new recruits wouldn't even survive the first few weeks at the front unless they had advice and support from warriors already experienced in the battle. Spiritually, Grandpa and Grandma have provided our family with the best training they could devise for soldiers of the cross. They've outfitted the family ranks with a church background and examples of faith and obedience. My grandparents are certainly seasoned veterans engaged in battle who will press on to the end. As I struggle beside them in the trenches, however, I may be facing fire in areas over which my grandparents have won personal victory long ago. Over the roar of the battle, I desperately need to hear their daily prayers being offered up for me and my family. I need to know that they will be there to attempt a rescue if I ever fall in combat. During World War I, some of the old hands in the conflict became so battle-scarred with previous losses that they resisted making the acquaintance of the new recruits. They aren't going to make it anyway, they reasoned. Sometimes, perhaps, the Christian soldiers of the new generation don't seem to be making spectacular progress. We may appear to be one who beateth the air, as Paul said. Grandpa and Grandma, your prayers, your love, your patience when we don't perform very well as less seasoned soldiers, our shots fired in our defense and support. If we make it victoriously to heaven someday, we won't have it done alone. It was written by Rachel Miles.
Written on November 7th, 2015, in honor of Kenneth E. Montgomery, Sr. No essays or poems could possibly contain the words needed to represent a man of his caliber, but this is an attempt to convey what he means to his family and friends. A man of solid principles, hardworking and respected. A man of prayer and faith, and by God's word, directed. A man of not so many words, but kind and apt to give, providing for his family an example of how to live. A man who drove a school bus for 28 long years and raised a family with his wife with laughter and with tears. He built a house, worked on his cars in sunshine and in rain, but most of all had printer's ink running through his veins. A humble man, a thinker, using humor along the way, but most of all a godly man, a veteran of the faith. By Deborah Montgomery.
That would be daughter-in-law Deborah. Kenneth. So. The one that Caleb read was for Robert and Ruth, Rachel Miles. So.
This is from Gerald Taylor. The attributes which possibly give me the most joy about Robert and Ruth Montgomery's honest and truly lived faith is that they chose God's army in the first place, and they enlisted for life. They have never become retired veterans. They are still on the front lines of faithful attendance, support of the truth, and the invisible foxholes of prayer, which give those manning the guns the strength to carry on.
Anybody else? Get the mic so we can have it on recording too. Go ahead.
I would like to say this morning, my veterans in faith, and I don't know if anybody else has have them or not, are both struggling for life this morning. My mother-in-law has early on in our marriage, she finished raising me from what my parents, and then of course my dad and my mother are certainly veterans in faith for me, and I'm thankful that I have the heritage both from my parents and my wife's parents that led me, put my feet on the solid rock, and led me to the life of a Christian. And I'm very, very thankful for that this morning.
Amen. Anyone else? Give you a little bit of time here. You've been thinking a little bit, haven't you?
Dad mentioned a lot of the ones that I would have said. But recently, there was a lady at the nursing home. She was just a little frail thing. And she had faced so many problems, so many difficulties, physical illnesses. Her body was wrecked with cancer. She was having breathing difficulties and in and out of the hospital from our nursing home. But that lady was the sweetest lady. She always had a smile. Any little thing you did for her, she would say thank you. And that lady prayed. That lady was a prayer warrior. And I actually do believe, I prayed for her when she was headed to the hospital. And she would say, thank you so much. And yes, we believe so much in prayer. And I wouldn't have a doubt that she prayed for the workers there at the nursing home. She wasn't a holiness lady. She wasn't even a Protestant Christian. She was Catholic. But that lady, to me, is a veteran of the faith because of how she dealt with her situation and that she prayed so much to Jesus. She said so, and I was amazed. I went to her funeral, and she was a wonderful lady. Everybody talked so highly of her. And talked about how strong her faith was and how she was such a strong prayer warrior. But if I told her daughter, I said, if there was any way that if I had to go through what she did and still be able to be so sweet and kind and still be so loving and thankful after all of that, then I've accomplished something, or God accomplished something in me, because it would be very, very difficult to be how she was and yet still be so very sweet. And besides everybody that my dad mentioned, because a lot of them I've been connected with and have been veterans for me, she is a veteran of the faith for my life.
Amen. Anyone else? Troy and Krista are going to come and sing, but before they do, I want to read one more here from Thaddeus Taylor. As I think of the examples of faith noted in Hebrews, I realize that we often do not see things the way God sees them. I see in my grandparents a dependence on God throughout the story of their lives and a willingness to allow Him to use them in any way that He would choose, no matter how humble. They perform many tasks with the attitude to do their best for God, from janitor responsibilities to teaching and singing, even in front of more capable people. They have earned their reputation for hospitality, and people from all over the world feel at home with them. Thank you, Thaddeus Taylor. May all who come behind us find us faithful, because we too, somewhere in the journey of our spiritual lives, are veterans of the faith, shaping somebody that's beside us. As we pay tribute to veterans of the faith, let's carry the torch and be a veteran of the faith, a witness to somebody else as well. Let's stand together this morning.